So yelling, telling them what they're going to do, telling them what they're supposed to be doing, telling them what they're doing wrong, isn't a negotiation at all. I think we would all agree on that. Folks, welcome to Counselors Can Help. Let's demystify the process of counseling. We want to remove barriers, answer your questions, educate, entertain, and inspire you to action. Folks, welcome back to Counselors Can Help. I am Merrill Fink. We have been away for a bit and starting a new series here. Let's negotiate. Let's figure out how to work it out together. Let's figure out how to come to some sort of resolution. We're talking negotiating. We're going to spend a bit of time on this and likely a bit of a series because it does have to do with relationships and I think a very much a missing piece that we've let go for some time. We'll get into that. Before we do, I just want to remind that the show, all the shows on this podcast are all relevant. You can go back to any show. There's numerous topics on anxiety, depression, trauma, how to recover from that, numerous episodes on relationships and conflict. Take your pick. A pretty good library started to develop here, and I'm pretty proud of a lot of these shows, and I do recommend that if you have questions or you hear this show and think, that seems pretty decent, wonder what else he's got in here. Plenty of shows to wet your whistle, if you will, and like I said, this particular series we're going to start is about negotiating. So I do recommend you go back, take a listen to some of the old shows, and I think you'll like them. I think we do cover a lot of topics in depth. Sometimes I had a person to talk to, sometimes not, and I guess a good mixture there, I think. So always, again, rate the show. That helps on these podcast apps, truly does, as well as send it along to a friend. Somebody you know may need this information or you may think it might benefit them, pass it along. You don't have to have a counseling degree to do some good by just passing along some information. So recommend you do that. On to the negotiating series. We have a standoff. We have something we're dealing with here, and we're having to negotiate. Now, I'll say from the beginning, this book, what piqued my interest in this subject matter was a book I had heard a podcast recently in the last month, probably from Jordan Peterson called, it was on negotiating, and it was the guest was Chris Voss. He's an FBI lead negotiator and had written this book, Never Split the Difference. And I listened to the podcast and became very intrigued about how much we could imply or glean from how the FBI had done negotiating and what we could learn from that in our real lives. And so I listened to the show, was very much inspired. He has since done at least probably a couple other podcasts on different shows. One show specifically that I listened to quite at length is from the podcast. It's called The Huberman Lab. Chris Voss is in there as a discussion, again, on negotiating, how to have difficult conversations. So a really good guest there of quite a lengthy show. I think a show went at least a couple hours. And so You can look around, if you will, order the book, which I recommend. The book is very well written. I think it's simply written, which for me is always exciting because I don't want to get into a bunch of psychobabble. I really want a show or a book that, in this case, is also an audio book. I like that. I can listen to it whenever I want, cut it up in parts. The show on the Huberman Lab, Chris Voss, How to Succeed in Hard Conversations on October the 2nd, 2023. So a couple references there, a book reference, plenty of places to go get some of his content. And I believe they have a website called The Black Swan, something to do with that. And that's his company that does consulting for this kind of stuff. So lots of references there to go on. Why negotiate? Why do we care about this topic? We care about it because we negotiate all the time in life. The book itself is written from an FBI perspective. I'll get into why that's important. But we're always negotiating, and many times we don't really realize we're in a negotiation. We think we're telling someone to go do something, they give us a yes or somewhat of an answer that we think means they're going to go do the thing, and they don't do it. They don't follow through. Okay, negotiation failed. We did not execute. Don't know why, but the thing didn't happen. Or, you know, down to its simplest form, a parent with a child or teenager just basically arguing. You're in a negotiation there. As the parent, you may think, well, I'm the authority figure here, and they are basically need to listen to what I say. Well, yeah, to some degree, but also they need to buy into what you're saying. And if your negotiating style is just tell them what to do or do that in a somewhat of a yelling manner, you're likely not going to experience great outcomes. And you will then, in fact, blame it on them because you're right. This is the mentality that Chris Voss addresses in the book and how the FBI changed their perspective over the years, because they started out with the idea of logic. We're going to speak logically to the people we're negotiating with. Who are they negotiating with in this book? Not the greatest people of society. Bank robbers, kidnappers, folks of that sort. We're trying to come to some sort of peaceful outcome for hostages generally. Something along that line. And in the classic bank robber case, logic would go like this. You're in the bank. The bank robber has hostages. FBI is outside. Cops are all over the place. Well, we're in a standoff. The FBI could negotiate in the following manner. Look, you've been caught. You tried to get away with this thing. We caught you. We got here in time. You didn't get away. You're not getting away. What you're doing is wrong. We're right. We're outside here. We got all the guns. Knock it off or we're coming in. Well, you can probably guess that wasn't a great negotiating strategy, that it wasn't really effective. Because what can happen and what did happen in some very gruesome negotiation breakdowns in the 80s and 90s, a lot of people died, and they died because the people on the inside were too emotional, too caught up in what they were doing, and that sort of discussion didn't help because it just sort of made them more angry and made them less logical. If someone is really upset, if someone is really, really in the depths of whatever's got them going, they tend to be a little less logical. Again, think of your person in your life that when they get upset and start yelling at you or yelling about life or whatever it is, they get really upset. Do they sound logical to you? Generally, I would submit there are parts of it that do sound logical and parts where your internal voice is saying, I don't know. I don't agree with that. That sounds a bit much. You're having an internal conversation about what's wrong with their argument. And likely the more upset they are, the less logical it sounds. Which kind of makes sense, actually. When we're upset and you know the upset, it's like your stomach is turning, your heart is beating, you could be anxious, you could be angry, whatever it is, it's hard to think logically in those moments. And that's a problem. That can be a real problem, because illogical thought, when pushed, can turn into illogical action, which can be quite disastrous. So the FBI said, we need to do better at this. We need to figure out a way to make it so that this kind of thing doesn't happen. The idea never split the difference is based on the fact that we don't want them to take half the hostages and let half go. We want them to let all the hostages go. We have a thing that we're negotiating here that we're not really going to go 50-50 on. And so we're dealing with a highly emotional person, and we really, if we're pressed, really have an outcome that we want, and we're intending to get that. I don't think that's any different than in a lot of cases we face as just people who aren't in the FBI that we face regularly. And so we would like a better way to negotiate an outcome, to something that is a lasting peace, if you will, to something that we can solve the problem. The FBI has been working on this for years and years, and they've taken a long look at themselves and mistakes they made. And listening to Chris Voss, like I said, I've given you some places to go there to hear his story and get the information. Very compelling as to how this would actually fit in daily life, and talks through many examples of how this would fit into daily life. So I really recommend the book, the resource. Listen to them on free podcasts if you like. And start to take some of this to heart as to how they go about doing it. So with that, I would like to get into a little bit of specifics that I want to lead you through a bit, some of the more simple ideas, and give you sort of a taste of where we're going here. To get started, I just sort of laid out the argument a bit ago as to what doesn't work. Tell someone they're wrong. Tell someone they're being illogical. Overpower them in the moment. Doesn't really work that well. Maybe it does for a two-year-old. But once people start getting a little older, this sort of technique doesn't really lead to an outcome that everyone is happy with. It can lead to short-term success. They stop doing the thing. But does it really change where we're at or where we're going? Probably not. So yelling, telling them what they're going to do, telling them what they're supposed to be doing, telling them what they're doing wrong, isn't a negotiation at all. I think we would all agree on that. So we're looking for something different here. What is the different thing to begin to start? And it's an idea that's quite simple and quite easy, but it is in its execution can sometimes be quite difficult. And I'm going to try to break that down a bit today. And that is this idea of listening. Why would the FBI, in this their example, start with listening when they know probably all they need to know? They've got hostages in there, etc. They've got demands or whatever it is. What else do they need to listen to? Well, as I mentioned earlier before, the person inside is probably quite upset. Adrenaline's running. The thing didn't go the way they wanted it to go. They may be upset at other people. They're not in a good place right now. They're not thinking about how they're going to spread joy in the world. They're ready to burn the place down, potentially. And you're outside, you're in the FBI. That's not really in your interest. So you've got to talk them down a bit. And the talking them down sounds like listening. Tell me what's going on. Using the FM DJ voice, as Chris Voss calls it. And there are numerous techniques in there on how to listen, but essentially it's really trying to understand their situation and put it and say it back to them best you can. Hey, it sounds like this thing didn't go like you planned, and that's not making you happy. I can see that. Well, let's get this back to real life, of daily life, I guess. Maybe better said. If your teenager or your spouse or your boss or someone is highly upset, or a customer highly upset, and they're saying things to you that really are kind of out there that you don't really agree with, you think in some ways that they are highly off the mark, right? What we typically do is when we start hearing those things is many times we will think to ourselves, okay, they're off the mark. This is not correct. I have a different version of this, or I have a different opinion. I'm going to wait for them to stop talking, and then I'm going to tell them my opinion and give them the bullet point statement as to why they are incorrect. There's no listening in that. You may think, I've heard enough. I've heard enough of this talk that they're giving. It's inappropriate, whatever it is. I don't want to hear it. I'm done with it. I'm now going to tell them how it is. And like I said, if you're a coach, a parent, you can get away with this to some degree. Not if you're a spouse. Not if you're maybe at work and you're dealing with a coworker. You're dealing with a customer. There's going to take a bit more finesse. It's going to take a bit more figuring out how to maneuver this thing to de-escalate it. Remember, the FBI is trying to de-escalate a situation where people have guns. You're not dealing with that. You're dealing with something that's far less dangerous. But doesn't mean it's not upsetting. Doesn't mean it's not been a continual problem. Doesn't mean you think the person you're dealing with is not sounding logical at all. In fact, you disagree with them on a lot of points. But you're now stuck in somewhat of a negotiation. So step one is really to listen. Listen to them and ask questions that generally are trying to get to what it is they are trying to say, how they see the situation. See if you can repeat back to them what it is they're upset about. Best you can tell. And use those words. It sounds like you're upset about this thing, or it sounds like you feel you didn't get handled very well over here by this other person. You know, whatever. You're trying to summarize essentially what you think they're saying. Why? If you don't agree with them, why would you do that? And we've talked about this on some other shows. You're really just trying to show them that you are, in fact, listening. Because what you are trying to do, first of all, is to de-escalate their mood, their anger, their unreasonableness, to get this down to something that resembles conversation and less antagonistic arguing. Because when someone starts yelling at us or arguing or bitching about some other person in our presence and we feel like we're being a bit attacked, I personally don't do well with that. I'm working on it, but I don't respond that well to that. And I get an immediate internal gut punch from that. When somebody starts in on me about something, my reaction or my instinct is to sort of fire back and, you know, okay, let's have it out right here. Again, that's an instinct that I think a lot of us have. So to listen, we have to sort of quiet those thoughts. First of all, we have to, in our own mind, say to ourselves, okay, it's not the moment yet to fire back with what I think is the situation or the solution. I first need to figure out what exactly it is they want or they think is the problem. And I have to hunt till I can get them to agree that, you know, in the words of Chris Voss, for them to say, that's right. You've laid out the situation as they see it, and they agree to that. Again, we're trying to de-escalate that. Why would that de-escalate a situation? Well, first of all, many times in a situation, sometimes in a like a store or in some sort of customer situation, the person doesn't feel listened to, doesn't feel like anyone has taken the time to see the situation and experience it as they experienced it. They really want someone within the organization to just hear that and feel like they've given their input and now something, we're not sure what, will happen. This allows them to immediately start to calm down because you have summarized the thing to their satisfaction. And this could be a give and take. This could be a number of questions, but you're trying to ultimately paraphrase what they are saying. And there's a lot of research that shows this is effective because depending on this type of person you are, some people just really cannot listen or negotiate until they feel you have understood their position. They're not willing to listen to anything you got to say, and in fact may fight it quite fervently until they think you have summarized the situation properly to their satisfaction. Now, you've got something. Now you have listened. You have stated their what they feel is the situation. And they will likely start to pare it back right then and there, which is good. These are the unplanned negotiations that we're in. And that's kind of what I'm referring to here. Potentially hard hard conversations, things that pop up in a family or a business that you really didn't plan on. Something's gone off the rails and you need to see what you can do, if anything. So step one, listen, repeat back what the person has said. Now from there, you've got something, and it depends on what they said. We'll break that down into the, sort of the next show on this. But from there, you actually can then start to solve the thing because you've stated to them correctly what they see the situation is. And now you can move on to the next step, which is get into some sort of negotiation or help them with the problem. I'll cover that on the next show, but that's a main idea of you really can't proceed until you've got where they are kind of locked down and they feel that you've got it locked down. And they start to begin to either trust you or certainly know that you're listening to them, which generates some goodwill. It generates a little bit of goodwill. They may be mad at you specifically, but at least you're listening to them now. And that's not nothing. That's a good thing. So we tend to think of negotiation as how we're going to get the other person, how we're going to get them to do certain things. And that's not an unreasonable situation. The FBI certainly is. They want the bank robbers to give up. They want them to walk out. They want this thing to be done. They want to go home to their families. They have a thing they want, but they've realized that we cannot, you know, for lack of a better term, microwave that. That is going to take as long as it's going to take. We cannot be impatient. We cannot try to rush too quickly to the solution. We cannot try to get too quick to the advice setting. When someone is complaining to you and maybe a friend complaining about someone else, we are very quick sometimes to give advice or tell them what they should be doing or what you would do if you were them. Slow that down. First, listen to how they see the situation. And they may be seeing it quite bleak. You may decide they have plenty of errors in their logic. Not unreasonable, not unusual at all. But you can't address those until you sort of get the entire picture. Again, what stops us from doing this? This sounds simple, right? It does sound fairly reasonable and simple and somewhat logical. I can't know what I'm negotiating with until they tell me. Why don't I just do my usual thing and, you know, tell them how this is going to go? Well, this is somewhat the block of why people generally don't do more listening and repeating back early on, because as soon as we hear things, and I'm guilty of this, as soon as we hear things that we disagree with, we immediately in our mind start formulating arguments in our head. We kind of stop listening because it doesn't matter what they say after that thing. They've just demonstrated a huge flaw in logic, in our opinion. And now it doesn't matter what they say after that. Their whole thing is built on a house of cards. In my opinion, what they've said is now showing a lack of thought, logic, reasonableness. I don't care what they say after that because this thing is just ridiculous. I don't have to hear it. I can now tear apart their idea on what I think is wrong. This is a mistake. And this is generally what stops people from doing this simple thing of just listening and repeating back, is that you've got things in your head that you can't get rid of. When they say certain things, certain trigger words, certain things that make you upset, you immediately start formulating arguments in your head, and you give up on the idea of what you're doing in the first place, which is listen and repeat back. This is what will stop you from doing it. This task is so simple. But likely we stop doing it or don't do it at all because we are too quick to start firing back. Some situations need that, perhaps. I mean, you can think of, you know, first responders or whatever that, you know, may need to do something pretty quick and may need to be pretty drastic about it. And they're not in a position to negotiate necessarily. But many times, more often than not, we're in a position to negotiate. And the best way to do that is to listen. And the best way we can actually get something accomplished is to have them feel heard and have them now be in a state to actually have a give and take, if you think that's appropriate. It may be, in this case, an example in your life where the person says all these things, you repeat back what they said, and you're kind of at a loss for what to do with that. Well, stating back what they said is certainly a great start. And the next start could be something along the lines of, well, I'm imagining that kind of sucks. Or I'd be mad if I were you. If I saw it that way, I'd be upset too. Or if I was in your position, I'd probably have a similar thing. You can empathize with them on some level because you're now sitting sort of in their shoes a bit. And you can say, well, if I were you, I guess I would be upset. You don't have to necessarily solve the thing. This is a mistake many spouses make. They want to solve it for their partner, and they have good intentions. They really do want to solve it because they want to help the other person. And they're doing this thinking they are helping the other person, when in many times, point of fact, they're actually making the other person more upset. Because the other person now feels like, oh, they're telling me that they're smarter than me. They've got a solution. This is what I should do. They really haven't listened to me. And the injustice or the why I'm upset at all. You haven't helped. You've in fact made it worse. And it's too bad most of us think this is how we're helping people by sort of giving them the answer. And I'm as guilty of this as anyone. So I don't say these words thinking that everyone else is doing it wrong and I've got it all figured out. This is very much filled in common sense. This takes practice. So my charge to you, my assignment to you is to do this a couple of times in your life. Look for situations where somebody is complaining about something, or maybe you've heard them complain recently, and see if you can go back to them and sort of state where they're coming from. Lay out the argument of what they're saying to their satisfaction. It's not that difficult, honestly, when it just comes to the logic of it, but it is difficult in that we fill things in that they didn't say, we mishear things, and that's why you state back to them what you think they're saying, because you're giving them the opportunity to correct you, which is good. You're giving them the opportunity to feel like you've got it right, in which case they will say you've got it right. That's good. You haven't agreed with them. You haven't said that they are 100% on the mark. You've not said a word about the direction that they're going yet. That's coming. But as of now, you're simply trying to grasp what it is, where they're at, and how you can learn to understand their position. This takes practice. This takes some effort. You might be a little clunky at it initially. It takes patience. You've got to calm those voices in your head that want to fire back and fight back and state your argument, which we all do far too quickly. So like I said, I would recommend that you take this moment to read or download the book, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Listen to some podcasts on it. Get a sense of it. If you have no time for any of that, do this task of listening to someone who is upset and say back to them with their set until they tell you that you've got it. That's when you're done. And then again, how you want to proceed at that point is up to you, but at least getting the part right about where they're coming from may help a lot in actually coming up with a solution. If they're ready for that, if they actually want you to weigh in on a solution, or they may just want you to get it right. Sometimes we just want to complain. That is an actual thing. That's a little bit hard for some people to logically wrap their head around. Why do you just want to complain to me? Sometimes that's what people really just want. And it's not a difficult thing to do, to listen. So take that, take the task, hope you will. I've been trying it my own self personally with, I would say, reasonable results. I think I do a much better job when I'm here at the office and I'm doing this for a living, when I'm doing that with a purpose, with a client. It's easier. I'm in the better mindset. I'm not emotional. I'm not wrapped up in the thing. when you are in it, wrapped up in the thing, this gets much more difficult. So just be aware of that. It'll be a little bit harder than you think. I don't want to say that, but I think that is true. So give that a shot. See how that goes. Just keep practicing it. You'll know when success comes when they say, that's right, you've got it. That's what it is. They'll give you that feedback. So with that, I wish you good luck on that. We will be back to discuss more on the idea of negotiating on Counselors Can Help. Our mission is to spread the word that counselors can help. We want to teach you how to get started and get the most out of therapy. We encourage you to reach out to a professional in your area to help yourself or a loved one. Thank you to Kelsey Fink, our production assistant and chief of technology and social media. Thanks to Aspire Counseling at AspireUT.com for their support. If you want to know more about how counselors can help, go to counselorscanhelp.com. We have lots of resources, information, and we update it all the time. We'll see you next time on Counselors Can Help, a production of Merge Publishing.